This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk.
What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Primetime.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
And what is up?
Just a wonderful Friday.
What is up, guys? And gals, yeah, it is. What a nice swing that is. Wow. Cameron Champ.
What a nice swing. It is impressive when you watch people that are really good at golf. And I'm not, even just the year average, like, schnook down at the course that's a really good golfer. But when you see a pro, boy, that's a thing of beauty. It's like a baseball swing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're all different. They're all unique. But, man, when you see, occasionally there's just one that separates itself, whether you're a Griffey guy or, you know, whatever you're.
Wally Joyner.
Yeah, whatever you think of. I was a Will Clark guy.
Do you remember Wally Joyner?
I do remember. Wally Joyner's a BYU guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was a Royal for a while.
Yeah, I always remember him. He's an angel in my mind.
Yeah, he is. But I think most people would think of him as an angel. But for me, I remember him as a Royal. He could hit.
Yeah.
That guy could hit.
A bunch of guys about, like, Will Clark, for me, he was a Texas Ranger, but
Giants.
Yeah, the Giants, right? 22. Whatever your vision of the swing is, right? Like, that is just something about it. And the same thing in golf.
Obviously, Griffey number one for me, but Robbie Cano's swing when he was good.
Robbie Cano.
See, and that's an age thing, too. Because I think they say this, that there is actual, there's proof, there's evidence that when you're between 14 and 16, whatever happens during that time, whether it's movies, music, sports, that forms a deeper connection to you than anything else. Like, you can go on and you can appreciate other things, but they say the way your brain functions and you start to kind of develop, like, your own little personality, that hits harder. And for me, the Robbie Cano thing is, it's bizarre, because I've seen Robbie Cano hit 100 times, but that would be so far off my radar. But I'm sure for Mike, that's grown up. Like you said, Wally Joyner, or whether it's Brett or Griffey or Will Clark.
Gwynn.
I'm guessing that whoever you're picking was around that age, you know, somewhere in your teen years. That
Robbie
Cano
came up for the Yankees in 2005. I was 16.
16.
All right, let me look at Wally Joyner's numbers.
I saw this on a stupid, like, what's that dumb show my daughter watches? She's obsessed with it. Criminal Minds, right? Oh, she, like, is.
Why is that dumb?
Because it's a horrible show.
Son is an idiot.
Those crime shows just drive me crazy. But she watches it, and so it's, like, kind of on in the background. But one of the characters on there is, like, he's always explaining, and this is why crime shows drive me nuts. They explain everything that they're doing to the other professionals in the room. Drives me batty. But he said something about that, like, the music or sports or imagery or whatever. And I actually kind of looked that up and ended up reading, like, four or five different articles on that. And I was like, well, I'll be damned. I'm like, that is a real scientifically proven thing. You will never appreciate or have the same affection for other things outside of that age range when you're kind of forming.
I've heard that about music, but I would assume if it applies to music, it applies to other things.
Yeah.
I was 17, 18, 19, and 20, the years Wally Joyner was with my Royals.
That's your swing? Like, when you think of the swing?
No. I just mentioned him because, well, lefties. Mine's George Brett. You know that.
Yeah.
I mean, George Brett's swing, no batting gloves, just so... Yeah. pine tar and just that lefty.
But it's isn't it interesting that like none of us are going to, because there's great swings in the game now, but you'll never mention them. Like,
well, but what is the sweetest swing in baseball right now? Because I feel like they don't. I feel like it's different now. They're all launching home runs.
You feel like it's different?
Yeah, like I don't feel like Tony Gwynn and Wade Boggs, to some extent George Brett, he had a little more power, but you know, these guys that we're talking about, it was just a different approach, right?
Yeah.
And I think that means a little different swing. Not in all cases, but some of those swings you don't see anymore. Like you don't see guys shortening up and just, you know, going the other way as much, right?
Sure.
Like they just try to hit a bomb. Well, and that's Joey Gallo. Like Joey Gallo is all he does is hit bombs.
But Yelich, I think, has a great compact swing.
It's not very pretty though.
See, that's right.
It's very kind of like
that's what
jerky.
I mean.
It's like DJ LeMahieu, same way. He always pops it up opposite field.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit like, ah.
If
like
you
he,
were
like,
to say
shoots his bat at the ball.
The sweetest swing in baseball right now, who are you? Who comes to mind? And it's a tough question to answer because there aren't the swings that we're used to. See, this goes to your point about.
Well, what's the best swing in baseball?
Mike Trout, hold on. This right? goes to your point about being about glorifying the swings of yesteryear.
Sure.
So we don't see swings right now that look anything as good as what we remember
and
as
so
sweet swings.
In our mind, they're not as.
That's
good.
That's right. They're probably better, but it's just different. They just launch.
Sure.
You know, it's all about swinging hard and launch angles. And
yeah.
Well, who's the best swing in baseball? Mike Trout, right?
Sure. Is that?
But it's violent.
His
swing
right.
is so violent and compact.
A lot. Well, I guess that's what, like, when I think of Yelich, it amazes me to me how compact that is, but it generates an S ton of power. Braun was that way. There's a lot of Buster Posey certainly has one of those, like, you're going to take a big cut. I'm just trying to think, like, Pujols to me always had a nice swing. I know he's a little bit older, but I always appreciated that.
Sweetest swing in baseball. Sweetest right now.
Sweetest swing in baseball.
I can't think of anybody.
My answer is still Robinson Cano because he's still
he's
playing
still
baseball.
Playing.
Chris Bryant is the closest thing.
Bryant's got a good one. I hate to say this because he left the Mets, but Daniel Murphy has a great swing.
Daniel Murphy.
Daniel Murphy
he's
has,
so compact.
Daniel
though.
Murphy has a great swing.
I don't remember him. I don't know if I buy that.
Yeah. Screw him.
Damn,
he sucks.
Damn.
Daniel Murphy sucks.
Daniel Murphy doesn't suck.
No, he was pretty good.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
But I don't think of him as sweet swinger. I think of him as kind of an ugly swing that just kind of
really
was a good, just a good little hitter.
See, but, I disagree with that.
I don't know. Well, you're an idiot, so.
Clearly I'm an idiot.
We've established that.
Yes.
All right. Well, yes, it is very sportsy for a first segment. And for that, we do not apologize to you.
Sorry about that.
Because we are a sports show.
Yes.
Sports show. Sports show.
I found a list, by the way. Someone put together the 10 best swings in baseball.
Right meow.
They're going with Machado at 10.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
That is a good one, yeah.
Buster Posey at 9.
I don't know his swing.
Do you think of Buster Posey when you think of
Buster
sweet
Posey
swing?
Has a big swing.
I can't picture his swing.
Evan Longoria, Mike Trout.
He's dead.
Howie Kendrick. Yeah. They're saying this is like of the last 10 years. And take it for what it's worth. This is Bleacher Report.
Stupids.
Joe Mauer, they put on there. Chris
Ooh,
Davis.
I like Joe Mauer.
They got Miguel.
Chris Davis.
They got Miguel.
Chris with a K, you mean? I hope.
Well, yeah.
The other one can't hit
him.
No, Chris Davis was the Chris Davis
with
a
C
was good.
His swing was pretty sweet
for a year,
and then it kind of
for a year.
And then they went with Cabrera, who I mean, guy won
Miggy.
Guy won the Triple Crown. Mm-hmm. Adrian Gonzalez.
Ooh,
and
that's good.
Number one, they're going with Robbie Cano, best swing in the last 10 years.
Whoa, interesting. See, I can't think. I mean,
look up. There's actually I looked up Robinson Cano swing. There's a highlight video, sweetest swing in baseball from when he was with the Mariners.
The one thing I think about his swing when I picture him is like the bat drag sort of. He like at the end, he like the bat drop part.
Well, Robbie Cano's game I always just viewed as very smooth, right? He almost looks lazy in the field, but he always makes the play. He's moving at a slower pace, and it's kind of the same with his swing. He just, first of all, lefty swings are better than righty swings.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yes.
And he is a lefty.
Not true in golf though.
No?
Nobody thinks lefty swings are good in golf.
No, but in baseball, the lefty swing. Will Clark, Griffey, like the ones. Yeah, George, you know, you're talking about a lefty.
Look up a Robbie Cano swing highlight. You'll see it.
Some people coming in. Bellinger does have a good one. I like Bellinger's. That's pretty solid. Freddie Freeman. And I like it. Conforto's for the Mets, I think, has an interesting swing. That
Freddie Freeman
is a pretty solid one.
Tatis Jr., you watched him yet?
Yeah.
Boy, he's exciting.
Yeah.
He's with my Padres.
Yes,
not the Padres. My Padres.
He is very Padres. Good.
Ooh, there's a...
But Mike is on to something with the kind of the violent nature of them. Last year, I went to a game in person, and we watched Vlad Jr. When the Blue Jays were there, playing the Red Sox. I don't know if I've seen anyone swing harder, including his dad. And he just... there's a lot of those guys, you said, are just swinging from the shoes.
All right. Well, we got a minute and a half. Do you have anything to report to the people today?
Anything of relevance? No, I don't think so.
I don't either.
Oh, well, my neighbors are convinced that my dad is haunting their house. So there's that.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What does this mean?
That's...
Well, Sue keeps trying to get his house haunted, and maybe he picked the wrong house.
Yeah. You have neighbors.
Yeah.
So this is your old house where you grew up?
Yeah, yeah.
And your dad... Yeah, you're talking about stepdad?
Yeah.
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 Who has passed? Rest in peace. Passed.
Yeah. 5+
Big
years
Bobby.
Ago. Yes. He is beloved and missed.
Why do they see him? Is he sending them signs in the house?
Yeah.
There's new owner.
There's new owners there.
And they're in there, yes. And they're talking to you. They're like, oh my God, is this house haunted?
Yes.
And you're just like, well, my dad did die there.
Well, they're convinced it's him. So
cool. What's happening?
I got that labeled.
You should go talk to him. He's your dad.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah,
what
are the signs that he's sending that's convincing them it's him?
They can feel him. There's a presence. He's there and he's like watching and.
Well, I understand that.
You're talking to the wrong ghost guy here.
Well, look, I understand that you can have feelings and all that kind of stuff.
Mike's ready to go. Mike's let's do this.
Well, like what? Sometimes they're signs, right? If they're convinced it's him, there's got to be more than just a feeling.
They were asking where he passed away,
not Boston,
and what rooms did he like? I was sitting around, the door rang today, and I was like, hey, what's happening? And I go over there, and it was the new neighbors. I was like, oh, and then next thing I know, they're like, this. So I'm like,
cool,
yeah. So here, this whole time, I've been trying to be haunted. And now
it's haunted.
The neighbor's house is haunted.
Well, but I mean,
I want mine to be haunted.
But if it's your dad,
yeah,
surely he'll come find you.
I would think.
I always wondered why ghosts, if they're not really tangible, right? Yeah. Like, why can't they move houses?
Well, that's what I say. Get over here.
Why do they gotta stay?
It's only like 50 yards away. I don't know. But yeah, if you want something to report, I mean, that's like the number one thing that happened on my day today. And I honestly,
that's cool.
I don't know what to do with that information. I was kind of sitting there because, I'm a little bit of a,
There's only one thing to do.
What?
Hire a ghost hunter or whatever. You know, what do they call those guys?
Like a seance sort of thing? I was kind of thinking
paranormal investigator.
I was thinking like a Ghostbusters with one of those traps. Like we could throw out there and get like a proton pack or something.
Don't make them angry.
Well,
if it's not your dad, then you're just angering another spirit.
Well, I think they want him to go. I think he's weirding them out. So I was like,
So you should go to their house.
Invite him to your house.
Yeah. And you should speak into the ether and say, Dad, if that's you, come on over to my house. Leave these fine folks alone.
Well, I did. Now it's weird because I am not, I don't believe this, but.
You don't believe in ghosts?
No, but I will say that I did make that offer. I said, if this is happening, I gave my number. I said, I'm happy to come over and I don't know what I can do, but I'll do that. I'm like, hey, house is all right. Come on next door. Like we got some ribs cooking or something. I don't know.
Ghost ribs.
I've never dealt with this.
What do ghosts like to eat?
This was the first timer. Well, my dad really liked
nothing
burgers.
Dead.
He liked a good cheeseburger. So maybe I do that, but I don't know. I am a little disappointed though that he's haunting them and not me.
I would be too.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's like I thought we were close, man. What the
maybe
hell?
Maybe he's got the wrong house.
35+ years. I mean, come next door.
Maybe he's unable to enter your house. So the way that he's going to communicate with you is to go into the neighbor's house and get your attention.
I have been inviting ghosts into my house for years.
Well, I know you have, but maybe there's some reason that he can't.
It's an open ghost policy. Like, whoever.
Maybe there's too many other ghosts that you've already invited and it's too crowded.
It's possible. I don't know.
Well, what up, Big Bobby, if you're listening there on your ghost radio.
If you're listening on the ghost tunes.
One house to the right or left or whatever.
Yeah, just come on over. It's like a kitty corner sort of thing. Get on over here. Come on.
Now, I wonder why you don't believe in ghosts. Is it I mean, with all that evidence out there, you know, it's just surprising.
Well, it's weird because I don't believe in ghosts, but I'm very pro Bigfoot. You know, it's a hard line sort
you
of
you just want to believe in Bigfoot.
Bigfoot and like the Black Lagoon and all that. Yeah, that I'm on board with. But ghosts, come on, let's get real.
My sister-in-law believes in Bigfoot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like for reals?
She won't come out and say it, but she likes to talk about all of the things that she likes to talk about. A Bigfoot podcast that she listens to, and she's like, you really should listen to it. It's interesting, you know, but she'll go,
really?
Yeah. And she'll, but she won't go as far as say, oh, I'm sure Bigfoot's out there. They're just like the possibility of Bigfoot,
yeah,
or something like that. I think she believes that.
Interesting. I'd like,
of course she knows more about it than I do. So I don't know.
Well, again,
maybe it is.
I'm assuming at this point that if there's a giant beast roaming around in the woods, chances are we'd seen it by now.
Well, her answer to that is, you know, just get up in an airplane and look at how, because I said the same thing. I'm like, look at how vast these lands are.
It's really not.
Like, well,
we've been into the woods and.
But the odds of you finding, like, look how many people we actually actively hunt for that are lost that we can't find.
Hold on. Time out. To the Bigfoot people out
I'm
there.
I'm a Sasquatch guy.
I'm just asking this. When's the last time we were in the woods, right? We were going through the thicket. We were out in nature, and we stumbled upon something large, bigger than a bread box that we've never seen before. Like, if you were saying that Bigfoot was like some sort of ant that we have never seen, but last time I checked,
I guess ants could have big feet.
We haven't just been cruising around and be like, what the hell is that? Oh, that's an elk that we never know. We've seen all that. Now, the ocean, I'll buy into that. Like, maybe there's something at the bottom we don't know. But
so instead of Bigfoot, it's Big Fin?
Big Fin. Mm. Now we're talking. You know, then I'm starting to listen here a little bit. But the woods, not so much. That being said, I 100% believe in the chupacabra, and I would like them to be in my backyard.
Listen to you. Yeah.
I do enjoy the new Bigfoot commercial. Have you guys seen it? The Progressive one?
No.
Yeah, I've seen that. Where
Flo is talking
anymore
to Bigfoot, and he's all upset because nobody's paying attention because they're all on their phone. And she goes, well, I'm sorry, Bigfoot, but people are just different. He goes, what did you call me? And she said, well, Bigfoot. And he goes, my name is Daryl.
Yeah, haven't seen that.
Again,
he looks at his feet like, are my feet really that big?
Again, maybe this is one of the things like you.
So Bigfoot
said,
doesn't know he's Bigfoot.
Yeah, like someone said, you can't be haunted if you want to be haunted. Maybe you can't find Bigfoot if you want to find Bigfoot. Is it like something like that? Like they don't want to be haunted. I do, but they're the ones being haunted. How does that work?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
How about it doesn't work?
Yeah, it's kind of my thing, but, you know. It was an interesting morning, I'll tell you that much.
That's great.
Yeah, it kind of threw me for a little bit of a loop.
Well, I think you should pursue this. Let's get Big Bobby Brown over to your house, huh?
Of course you do.
Yeah, I want you to get a private or a paranormal investigator.
I'll get right on that. Do I, like, Yellow
Hire
Pages?
Him.
Do I Yellow Pages that? Is that a Craigslist thing?
Yellow Pages. Who uses the Yellow Pages? Just look online.
We have this fine thing called Google.
Gotta look for some Yelp reviews.
Vancouver, Washington paranormal investigator. I'm sure there's plenty.
Anybody got a phone book? I need to find a paranormal.
I mean, come on.
You gotta go
Google
to the payphone and hope that phone book is still hanging there.
Paranormal investigator.
Vancouver, Washington.
Vancouver.
You might have to search out into the. I feel like that's more of a Hood River sort of thing. I don't
know. Oh, there's
why.
A guy in Drain.
Oh, clear. I can head on down there and interview him when I go to Top of the Bowl later.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll start with the Blazers next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right.
Mike's all over this ghost thing.
Yeah,
he's very interested. He is into this.
Inquisitive.
Mike, you can go over and check it out. I don't know. Maybe you can be haunted.
He wants to be.
I think you do.
Mike's, I don't want to be haunted. No, I just, I
he's
know
into
about
it.
This kind
yeah,
of
Mike's
stuff.
Into
Mike's
this.
Into it. Maybe and he should, believes in it.
They should have talked to you.
Yeah, don't you have to believe that it's real in order to see it? Like, that's the problem with you. It's not that the people who want to be haunted can't be haunted. It's that you don't believe in ghosts. Therefore, you will not see ghosts. See how this works?
But I want to.
Mike will because he believes.
I don't think
he's been to a ghost city.
I don't think it's that simple.
Oh. Well, I do.
The best is Mike is taking this very, very. Mike's like, you got to pursue this.
So what's going on? What part of the house?
Yeah, he's like asking me all these questions. I was like, I'm
curious about this kind of stuff.
They were certainly they are not kidding around. You could tell that this was not a comfortable conversation.
Where's he hanging out?
For them to come knock. In the back bedrooms. And apparently the bathroom a lot.
You know.
Yeah, which I thought was, I was like, what? It's like he's...
Was he a little pervy?
Like a peeping Tom? What's going on?
Well, if you're a ghost, you probably...
I guess, right? I mean, I did say, I have said this multiple times, that if I die, I am haunting a bathroom because it's when you're at your most vulnerable. Like, you think, like, you got your pants around your ankles. You are never more vulnerable to something than at that moment. I would totally haunt a toilet. Like, and just anytime you sit down, you would just feel like someone was trying to push you off of it. You're like, what is that? It's like there's just a constant shove on my shoulder. Like, someone wants me off the pot. That's me.
I did find Spooks Paranormal for you.
Yeah.
Spooks, standing for Scientific Paranormal Observation of Kinetic Spirits, and they are in Vancouver. And if you are in the Pacific Northwest and are experiencing paranormal activity in your home, workplace, yeah, or any other location, they can help. They have a team of experts with wide-ranging skill sets and far-reaching experience.
Experience in what?
Finding and not finding ghosts.
Finding and not
looking
finding.
For ghosts.
Yes, looking for. Well, we found them.
I and they're a not-for-profit.
I guess we know where it's at. Is going to the bathroom in my house I grew up.
Oh, look at this. They don't charge for their services.
They just want to come check it out?
Oh. Yeah, they say, we believe that an investigation can be a win-win situation and be as advantageous for us as for you.
Hmm.
They just encourage donations.
Well, I'd like to point out, this is not me. This is not happening at my house. And if someone's saying, my neighbor, RJ's in, it says, wait, the neighbor walked over and knocked on the door to specifically discuss my dead dad haunting their house. Yes, that happened.
Well, no, they wanted to know.
Yes.
If he died there.
Yes.
Because they had a hunch. That right there is enough to call Spooks. Because you confirmed what they had thought.
Yes.
So that was a big deal to them.
Yes, it was.
Is let's go over there and see.
Like
like, yeah, he died there. And they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, I legitimately kind of felt bad because my first notion was like, what? And then I was like, oh crap. They were like shaken. Like they were taking this very seriously. And then I had to take it very seriously. And it was a weird thing. And people are like, the person said, Sook needs a reality show. A very interesting day to day. I don't know why this stuff happens to me. It just does. Like, I was just sitting in my house. I was getting ready to go ride my bike, and there's a knock on the door. And here's the thing. When the door knocked, the dogs freak out, and so I go and I see it's the neighbors. And my first thought was, ah, damn it. What did I do now? Right? I thought I had done something. And I was like, I like these neighbors. These are nice ladies. And I was like, put the dogs.
It's bad that you don't even give yourself the benefit of the doubt.
I assume, well, can
you
I?
You just assume you did something bad.
Well, can I? So my bathroom is getting torn up right now, so I don't have a bathroom in my bedroom. And late at night.
Ensuite?
Yeah, sometimes I don't want to go down the hallway to use that bathroom. And
oh, no.
I've got a deck out on my outside of my bedroom.
Mm.
So I kind of thought maybe that my first thought was like, ah, oh, hell, I'm peeing off the deck at night. And maybe a light was on and I'm like this, you know, one of these things. So I don't know what's happening, but that was my first thought was, what did I do? I'm like, and I'm now racking through my head. I'm like, what possibly could I have done to piss these people off? And I was like, nothing. I've been very nice. I don't know. And I was like, ah, maybe it's the peeing thing. And so I put the dogs away and I go to answer the door and I could tell on their face, like this was not a good thing. And I invited them in. I was like, hey, do you want to come in? And they were like, no, but can you talk for a minute? And now I'm like, oh great. Now they're really pissed. And I'm willing to come in the door. And at that moment, I could have guessed for 19 hours what that conversation was going to be about, and I never would have come up with the real thing. If you would have told me that's what it was, I'd be like, yeah, no. And yet, there it was at my doorstep.
Big upset right there.
It really
was. You did
was.
Not see that coming.
I did not. It was Miracle on Ice, the miracle on the ghost. It came out of nowhere, and it's just a huge, stunning upset.
The long shot from the back of the pack.
Didn't see it coming at all.
So I said, maybe the only people who can see ghosts are people who believe in ghosts. And somebody texted us and said, hogwash, I don't believe in taxes, but I still see those. Well played, sir.
Yes. Bravo.
Well played.
Bravo.
Poll question today, 1080thefan.com. As always, brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, a family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. The question today is quite provocative. Who is the best, or maybe it's not, Who is the best point guard in the NBA right now?
Ooh.
Whoa.
Are we counting Steph Curry? Is he on that list?
We probably should have put him on there. But they're not playing, so I just said right now, so technically this applies.
Okay.
He's not on there. He should be, though.
He should be.
You're right.
He's
but he's not playing.
It's pretty good. Last time I checked.
He's not playing right now.
I think he is the best player in the NBA.
Right now.
Yeah, right meow.
Right now, he's not.
No, he's not.
Because he's not playing.
He is not playing.
Are you sure that's how that works?
Damian Lillard is on the list.
I would not argue if someone wants to say Damian Lillard.
Chris Paul is on the list. Mm-hmm. James Harden or Luka Doncic.
Ooh, that's a fun little curveball there.
Because he's, you know.
Sure. You know, he's really, really good.
He's amazing.
I am going to cast my vote since I can't cast it for Steph Curry. I would cast my vote, and this is not a Portland Homer thing. I'd cast it for Damian Lillard. Wow. I do. I would cast that.
Well, two of the guys on the list, not necessarily point guards.
Yeah, Harden.
Like, James Harden's not really a point guard, but he does run the point.
He is.
And so is Doncic.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Russell Westbrook is technically the point guard on that team, right?
Yeah, but Harden's a point. I mean, Harden and Doncic are point guards.
Yeah, I mean Harden averages like 9 assists. He's a point guard. The ball's in his hands.
And so that it's untraditional, of course.
Sure.
But those are the.
Maybe LeBron should be on the list then.
Top point guards. Hmm. Yeah, I don't think they run their offense quite like Doncic and Harden, but.
I would take Damian. I think Damian Lillard, outside of Steph Curry.
Damian's certainly more traditional point guard.
I think Lillard is the best point guard in the NBA. I think his defense has gotten better. I think when you take leadership into account, I think you take the competitiveness, the tendency to come up big at the biggest moments. I think Lillard's the best. I think he's the second best point guard in the game, but if you're not going to include Steph Curry because he's not playing right now, I'll take Lillard. Now, he's not the offensive player that James Harden is, but overall, and again, when I say point guard, I guess I'm thinking in my head too, like who I want to build my team around. I am going to take those off the court stuff and those factors into it. And it gives me a nod over James Harden.
Okay. Vote at 1080thefan.com. Final text from Dickard on this topic. Suk just said he doesn't know why these things always happen to him, and in the same breath, figured he did something wrong to piss his neighbors off.
Yeah. Well, why else would
he's right.
You have a concerned look on your face. It's like 9:30 in the morning. Both of you are over there. You brought the kid, by the way. The kid's adorable. Thumbs up to that. I just assumed. I'm like, why else are you coming over?
The fact that you assume that you did something wrong, though, is probably the answer as to why you're always having these situations.
That's Dickard's point. Yeah.
Because I think most people would be like, oh, I wonder what's wrong. Not, oh, what did I do?
I couldn't think of anything I did. And you're listing off 17 things that it could be.
Yeah.
And you wonder why these things always happen to you.
Yeah. Look, here's my thing.
We got you on that
one. If you're not out there mixing it up a little bit, you need to pepper in some more excitement into your existence. You only get one of these. Evidently not. Maybe you get two. I think I only get one. So, you know what? I'm not going to get cheated. Eventually, when I end up haunting something, I'm not going to be like, well, I got cheated with my time. We're going to get out there and stir it up a little bit.
All right, up next, Damian Lillard did something last night that has never been done. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up. Wait, what did the A's bench coach do?
Oh, boy. You haven't seen the video yet?
No, I've seen it. That was just the name of the segment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was just the tease.
I thought you may have saw a headline and you're like, what did he do? I'm like, boy, did he do something.
No, I saw it.
You want to talk about like brain flubs or just how? How does that happen?
Well, we'll discuss. we also had the SEC football schedule out.
Yeah.
And one team, so they added two games, right? Like, because it's 10 game.
Yeah, you're going to play your division.
Yeah.
You know, East and West, and then you get a couple crossovers.
One team got screwed in the crossover.
Yeah.
They're getting Alabama and LSU.
Oh, that's a fun little, no big deal.
But it doesn't matter because they're not going to play it anyway.
No, probably not.
But anyway, we're talking about Damian Lillard, and he's pretty good. You know, the Blazers won again last night. So the standings are always changing because there's games all the way, you know, like throughout the days and stuff. So you always got to keep checking back.
I think tomorrow's game for the Blazers is like 10 in the morning.
Is it really that early?
I think it's 10 a.m. They're playing the Thunder.
Damn. Well, the Blazers are one back in Memphis, and they're one clear of the Spurs.
Yeah, because the Spurs won today, and the Grizzlies finally won. They had been 0-4, but they knocked off Oklahoma City today.
Yes.
Pretty handily, 120-something to 90.
So isn't this all going to be wrapped up by mid-next week?
There's only 8 games, so everyone now has basically played, you know, I think 4 at this point. Maybe some,
halfway home.
You're either 4 or 5 in, so yeah, it's going to be wrapped up because you're playing every other day. So, clearly Memphis isn't pulling away from anyone. The question now for Portland is, does someone just jump ahead of you because right. you're smooshed in there real close?
Yeah, so Portland has the Clippers tomorrow, the Sixers on Sunday, and then they have Dallas on Tuesday, and then their last game is the Brooklyn game on Thursday.
And the question is, are those, because the Brooklyn one you would hope is a win, although anything can happen, are those other teams going to be playing for anything, right? Or is it one of those things like with Denver last night? Denver didn't play anyone. The only like big gun they had was Jokic, and he didn't even play down the stretch. That game meant nothing to them. So are you going to get the benefit of that with whether it's Dallas or the Clippers, where, or even Oklahoma City, where you essentially you're not really playing for anything? Because right now, when you look at San Antonio and Phoenix, I mean, they're right there.
Yeah, the Blazers, I mean, it seems, I mean,
it's set up for them.
Well, they pretty much control their own destiny. You just got to win. But if you lose a couple of these games and just say even you go 2-2 in the last 4, you know, Spurs still got to go 3-1 just to tie you. And
but we said it all along that 6-2 probably gets you in, 5-3 puts you in the conversation. But
the Spurs missed 2 games because, you know, the Spurs have played 2 fewer games than the Blazers.
Yeah.
So if they really want to get in the playoffs, that screwed them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're not going to make those up.
No.
That when they ended the season, they were they still had 2 games to play that the Blazers had already played. So
they're a game back right now, right?
One game back.
So
they got to go 3-1, Blazers 2-2, and then that's just to tie the Blazers.
Sure.
In the last 4.
And then after that,
the Spurs might have 5.
They're doing win percentage, right? And think that's the tiebreaker?
Don't know.
Because there can only be 1-9 seed.
Yeah, Spurs only have 3 left. Because they won, like you said, they won today.
They won today.
So they only have 3 games left. So they will actually have 3 games fewer than the Blazers. That probably pisses them off. So they have to go 3-0.
Pretty much.
If the Blazers can just manage to go 2-2, they have to go 3-0.
Yeah.
So again, catch them.
It's setting up real well. But what you want to try to do is you want to try to catch that 8 seed. Because remember, if you're the 9, you got to beat Memphis twice.
Twice.
Where if you're the 8 seed, you only got to knock them off once.
Ah.
So, I mean, basically, honestly, everything from here on out for Portland, you're talking about like kind of must wins, right? There just isn't any room for error. I mean, you've got to be perfect. And they're playing really well right now. I think it's setting up well. I think they're going, I don't know if they get into the playoffs, but I feel pretty confident they're going to be the 8 or the 9. And then
Lillard writes his legacy.
You see what happens.
Beating old LeBron in his first year with the Lakers, trying to chase a ring.
Look, I think the way they're playing right now with Nurkic and Trent, look, I think it's kind of silly. I think they can give LA some fits, but you know, the bubble is such a weird thing. We just don't know. We've seen guys go down. We've seen teams not look very good. There's no home court advantage. It's such a weird year. They toss any of that crap out. I would say that if you're gonna tell me there was gonna be an upset in the NBA finals or in the team even getting to the finals, because for the most part there just really isn't. Like if you look back, I think when Dallas beat Miami, that was kind of a whole what the hell happened there. Maybe when Detroit beat LA, but for the most part you get, you know, we have a real good idea of who's gonna win the title and who's even going to be in the NBA finals. But if you said that I had to pick a year in the next 5 where something funky is going to happen and you could see a team that people didn't see coming make a finals run or win a title, it would be this year.
Blazers Nets.
Because of the because of the bubble situation.
That's what I have. Blazers Nets.
Well, and so out west, I think most people believe it's one of the 2 LA teams. But out east, would it shock you to see Toronto?
No.
Would it shock you to see Boston?
No.
Even a team like Miami and Indiana, I wouldn't be stunned by.
I would. I think those 3, Milwaukee, Toronto, or Boston.
Yeah.
So Blazers beat the Nuggets last night. Damian Lillard did something that's never been done before in the history of the NBA. He is the first player in a game with 45 or more points, 10 or more assists, and 10 or more threes in the same game. Never happened.
Really?
Until last night.
In the history of the NBA?
History of the league. That's never happened. Which is really arbitrary.
It is, because it's like they do
but
this.
But it's awesome.
Yeah, they do this a lot with like Elias Stat. The what is it? I think it's Elias, right? The Stat Bureau or whatever. Mm-hmm. They always do that. They're like, first player in 39 years to average 12.5 points, 7.2 assists, and it's just, it's arbitrary numbers. But still, it's an impressive feat.
Well, that tells you it's hard to do.
Yeah.
Nobody's done it.
No.
And he did it.
Look, Lillard is...
Guy's amazing.
Lillard is in rarefied air. With each passing season, the guy gets more and more respect and more national respect.
That's what I think.
He's elevating his game.
If they were to knock off the Lakers and LeBron in the first round,
sure.
You want to talk about cementing or starting to build your legacy? Mm-hmm. There you go. Building off of last year.
Well,
especially with the start they had this year.
Exactly. Right. There is an element to that where there's guys that are just stars right from the get-go. Right. They just come into the league and you're like, oh, well, you're a star. And then there's other guys that are a little more of a slow burn and it takes a while to kind of build up that reputation. And people in their home city or maybe even on the if you're in the Midwest or East or, you know, wherever your region respects you. But it can take a while to kind of break through and really establish yourself as a star. And I think Lillard is one of those guys. But I don't even think necessarily he even I think he's already there. I think if you are an NBA fan, he has done enough stuff and is enough of a, I mean, he's kind of the face of Adidas basketball. He's on the cover of the video game. He's had some iconic playoff moments. He's got the rap career. He's huge on social media. I think Lillard is already there. I think Lillard is a star in this league. I don't think he's a regional star. I think he is a full-on star. And it tells you as much that LeBron put him in Space Jam. What more do you need?
That he did.
Following in the footsteps of Sean Bradley.
Lillard's acting chops. Did you mention his acting?
Well, that's Space Jam.
Well, but all the commercials and
all
stuff
the commercials.
That he does.
Yeah,
he's in all kinds of stuff.
He is. He is a big, big deal.
That what's that local car dealership he rolls?
I think he does Hannah.
Dick Hannah?
I think he does Dick Hannah stuff.
Is the acting in there?
Acting!
Those ads.
They do a bunch of Blazers, and boy, he should help with some of the others. Because there's some wooden performances there.
Well, we'll talk about Gary Trent Jr. down the road, okay?
Yeah.
You want to talk about him? People like him.
Well,
I love that guy.
He's pretty good.
I don't think he's missed a three yet. I think he just knocked down another one.
He's a badass. I love him. I love his game. I love how he plays.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that. But what did the A's bench coach do? We will find out. How about accidental Nazi salute?
Hey-oh, not one, but two.
Is that possible?
I don't think that's possible.
347 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, guys. Well, we had, you never know what you're going to wake up to in the news these days. You know, you wake up and you check the news and you're like, wait, what? And there's usually a wait what every morning, maybe multiple wait what, you know?
Much
when
like,
you look at a story and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. And honestly, at this point, nothing surprises me.
Nothing. I would say that too.
Nothing can shock me.
I was thinking, maybe there are surprising things. It's like, really? But then you go, No. Not that surprising.
No.
As a matter of fact, totally believable.
I'd like to think that I can still be surprised, but no. 2020, you just like, and par for the course. Although I will say this one, while not surprising, it did take me back a little bit.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was like, there's got to be something different. Yeah. There's got to be something like
I thought maybe it was like an overreaction sort of thing. I was like, he really didn't do that. And then I went and sought out the clip and I was like, no, he
did that.
He did that. Yeah.
And then you go, wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy's name is Ryan Christensen. He is the bench coach of the Oakland Athletics and he has Oregon ties. He used to play for the Southern Oregon A's.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
I did. Well, I saw the story today. They had
responded as if you knew that.
They had a little blurb on it on Oregon Live.
Oh.
You know, because whenever there's a story, you have to find a local.
That's right.
You have to find a local connection. So, no, not when I saw the story, I was like, hey, I know that guy. No, I did not know who this was.
So the A's won, and they were doing their out of dugout high five line,
Yeah, they do.
Or whatever.
They do the elbow.
Well, Liam Hendricks does the elbow.
Yes.
Liam Hendricks is the closer for the A's. He closed out the game, and he likes to do the elbow thing.
Yeah.
And Christensen was waiting for Liam Hendricks walking toward him, and he Nazi salutes. So then Hendricks comes up to him and bends his arm. Like, wait a minute, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, bends his arm, and then he gives him the elbow.
And he says something to him.
Moves along.
My guess is, don't do that.
Okay, so here's the... Susan Slusser writes for... is a longtime A's reporter, and here is what she writes. She's now with the San Francisco Chronicle.
Oh, did we mention, though, that he did it the second time?
Then he did it again. Yes. Yeah, if you watch the vid...
So he comes by, and he's clearly, like, it's... You can't look at this any other way. He is doing the Nazi salute, arm straight up in the air, and he comes in, he bends the player that came by?
Liam Hendricks.
Yeah, Liam Hendricks comes by, bends his arm, pulls it down, turns and says something to him. Christensen turns, says something back, and then does it again. And not only does it again, he does the... He sticks it up and then like the at an angle and then does it like the full on salute. I feel uncomfortable. I was like kind of mimicking it there. It's one of the more uncomfortable pieces of video you will see.
So Susan said, I just spoke to Ryan Christensen and he said he knew instantly what it was about when David Forst called him, because when he had reached out to do the karate chop with Hendricks, Hendricks said, straight arm. And Christensen took a second to realize what he meant. Christensen said, obviously I wasn't doing that intentionally. I just blacked out.
Really?
My mind wasn't there and I spaced out. I'm sure it looks terrible. I did it, but it was not intentional. I don't know what more to say. Then she writes more on Ryan Christensen, who says, after Hendricks told him, no, straight arm, you have to bend your arm. He turned and said, oh, I see what you mean. Oh no, it's like Heil Hitler, which Hendricks backs up. Christensen says, I apologize for everything. Christensen then said, I'm cringing inside picturing myself right now. Of course, I'm sorry for it. It's like standing there with my middle finger up. Anyone should know better.
Here's the thing.
So there you go.
It's not like standing there with your middle finger up. A lot of us stand there with our middle finger up.
I do it all the time.
Yeah, I flip people off all the time. It's good-natured fun. You do it to friends. My mom flips me off. I think it's hilarious. And the more angry Bull gets, the closer it is to her face. You know what we don't do on a day-to-day basis? We don't do the Nazi salute. And then we don't pretend that we don't know what the Nazi salute is. Is anyone not aware of that? Anyone at all? Maybe if you're a toddler, maybe if you're two, but I'm pretty sure the rest of us know what that is. And you did it not once, but you know, twice.
He has pretty good form. In other words, like you look at his arm and go, and then he look at his eye, like he has sunglasses on, but he's looking straight ahead. Like, I don't know. It just looks like he's done that before, right? Like it doesn't look like a sloppy mistake. It looks like he's really good at doing that.
Well, that was my thing. Like, you know? When I initially saw him, well, maybe he's in rare form. He's practiced. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? You practice. I assumed that the video was going to be something along the lines of he was like going to give a high five. And because if your arm's up in the air, right, and you're going to give a high five, I assumed it was something like that. No,
it's not.
No, that's not it.
It's not at all.
He does it. I mean, there's no mistaking. Like if you were describing that to a police sketch artist, you'd pick him up in about 45 seconds.
And so Hendricks texts the gal, Susan Slusser, who's the writer. And he said, I know Ryan Christensen, and what happened today was in no way a reflection of who he is. So
yeah, well,
that's where we're at on this. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know about him. I don't know what his deal is. Maybe he's the world's greatest guy. All I know is that's the Nazi salute, not once, but twice, to the point where someone else, a player on your team, was like, hey, bro, maybe sit the next couple innings out. And then he did it again.
So you think he's going to get turfed for that?
I don't know, but in today's world, it wouldn't shock me. And to be honest with you, if he does get turfed,
it's his own fault.
It's his own fault.
I don't know how that's accidental, man. I'm listening to him, and I try to be open about that kind of thing because we like to bury everyone. But that just looks, I don't know. I don't buy it.
Yeah, this guy says, don't buy it. It doesn't look serious at all. Why is this such a stupid thing to get bent out of shape about? He clearly looks like he didn't realize what he was doing.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Are we becoming woke? Is it woke to not do a Hitler salute in a dugout?
Look, guys.
Is that woke?
I just saw it for the first time. I don't think it's as bad as you guys are saying it is.
Really?
Really?
Why?
Coming from me. I mean, he instantly, when Liam Hendricks moves his elbow, he goes, oh my God, what was I doing? I shouldn't be doing this. He did it the second time. Yes.
Well, but why was he doing that?
Because all of the coaches, he called it the karate chop, right? They're doing this thing where they're doing an elbow karate chop.
Yeah.
So he put his arm out to get ready to chop, and everyone else has their elbows bent. So not to Nazi salute. And he goes, oh crap, what was I doing?
Boy, and, I don't know.
I mean, mate, look, if he's a Nazi, that's terrible. But I'm watching the video and I'm like, I could kind of see what he's saying. Like he was just like, oh, we're doing this karate chop thing and I'm not used to it yet. And he's like, oh, wow, why was I doing that?
Look, I don't know if he was doing it on purpose or not. I know that's one of the more awkward things. And I'm not saying he should be fired. I'm saying if he does get fired, I'm going to be like, yeah, I can see why. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good. Not once, but twice. You fight, like you put that back in the holster, and then it came right back out.
What does a bench coach do anyway?
I don't know.
You know,
apparently he does that.
That's a good gig if you can get it.
You think you just eliminate the karate chop at this point? Like, yeah, maybe we come up with something different.
Yeah.
Wow. You know,
man.
How about a nice low five? Oh.
Coming up next. The SEC football schedule is out. It's 4 o'clock on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.